Hello, everyone. Welcome to Turn the Light On. It's Pastor Kevin here. And hey, this week, I just wanted to take a moment and share some of my favorite sermons of all time with you. So you guys kick back and enjoy these messages this week. And we'll see you next week with more Turn the Light On topical Bible study.
How's everybody? I'm moving along. You guys good? It's kind of like quiet in here. It's all that goes smooth in each other. Moving in. So last week we talked about dominion, having authority, and don't be a minion, have dominion. And I thought that was powerful, but today I want to talk to you. I'm kind of taking you guys on a trail. I don't know if you've realized this, but even since I first started speaking, I've been taking you guys on a trail of just trying to help you to know and understand who you are in Christ. Well, today we're going to do a message. It's titled Mastering Me. It's mastering, right? How do we master ourselves? How do we have dominion over ourselves? How do we become the best version of ourselves? Think about that. You got to do your best. That's what life's telling us, right? Do your best. And I like that. But here's the truth. We're never going to make it trying to just do our best and do it in our own strength. Does anybody realize that? You're never going to be able to do your best and it be good enough for God. So quit trying. But I'm going to tell you the way to make it all work. Today. It's going to be powerful. You see, we spend a lot of our time running after and trying to be somebody that we can never be when God's really just saying, just open your hearts and let me be all that you can't. Truth is, you'll never be able to do it in your own strength. Look at Colossians 3, 23 and 24. It says this, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as if you're working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. And then Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything, including be my best self. I added that part in. Okay. Not adding to the word, I just wanted to bring it into context. Through him who gives me the strength. So where do we find this victory? It's in God's strength. We have to take a look at ourselves and we have to do our best. But know that in that, we can never fulfill the full calling. How do we master me? That's what I want to talk to you about today. How do I take control over this guy or this gal and be who God is intending and calling and reaching and just trying so hard to get to? How do we become that? You know, the bottom line is this. I want you to call a stray guy. Stray from the path, you know? Anybody like that, you know? They call it squirrel moments. Anybody ever had a squirrel moment? It's like, you know, I was telling Tammy this morning, when I clean the house, okay, when I get over and I start cleaning the house, I'm like, okay, this goes in the living room, but I'm cleaning the bedroom, and I take this thing, and I walk over to the living room, and I put it away, and next thing you know, I'm over here. I'm in the living room. I'm cleaning stuff over here when I was trying to focus on the bedroom. But now I'm in the living room and I'm moving around and I'm all over the... That's just, you know, I think some people call that ADHD. But I've actually been pretty bad in my life. Okay, I'm standing here in the pulpit and I want to confess and admit that I haven't always been the best person in my life. It's mostly before I knew the Lord. I needed a lighthouse to show me the way, right? I've been a minion for the devil. We talked about that last week. But then I gave my life to Jesus. Amen.
and everything changed. My life began to become transformed. But the bottom line was this, I still battled with sin. Sin didn't go away. I was like, okay, it changed a little. Some things got better. Some things stayed the same. And some things got worse, even after I gave my life to Jesus. You know, I still had to battle my flesh. Everybody say flesh. You see, the bottom line is this, there are things that each and every one of us, myself included, that we have to break from our life to fully experience the blessing that God has for us. There are things that will keep you from experiencing the full blessing of God. And the bottom line is what I usually need to break off of me the most is me. So if I can break me off of me and allow God to live through me more, I'll begin to see victory. 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 4 says this. For men will be lovers of themselves. You're off the hook, ladies. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Aren't you glad, ladies, that none of you have that on your resume? Guys, you got some work to do. No, it's men and women, right? I had to look at this list and go, all right, I'm going to do an evaluation of Kevin Radlin against this list today, right now, as the pastor of Lighthouse Church. You know, and I had to come up with the idea that, okay, I have that one. I can be a lover of myself sometimes, right? I still love money, if we're being honest. It says lovers of money. Boasters, I've boasted. I've been proud about things, right? I mean, I'm trying to be transparent. You know, the list pegs us as people. Shows us exactly what we're capable of and where we're at. I won't go all the way through because then I'd have to keep telling you everything. I need a little bit of, you know, covering. But all of us have been the worst version of ourselves. Mm-hmm. At some point in our life, hopefully not this week, that we're farther along, you know, that we're growing, we're maturing, we're becoming who God's intending us to be, so we're not that same party crazy guy that I was in high school that was just out there doing all this craziness. But the bottom line is sin is real. That's all I'm really trying to get to. Sin is real. And it's got to be dealt with. You know, both Christianity and Judaism see sin as this. It says it's a deliberate violation of the will of God and is being attributed to human pride, self-centeredness, and disobedience. That's what sin is. I need to define it because there's a root of sin in all of us. It's in there. Say that with me. It's in there. I don't like it. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants to be like, you're a sinner. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. No, not me. Yeah, you. It's just, that's how it is. In Romans, look at this. 5:12-15. It says, therefore, just as through one man entered into the world. So sin came in through Adam. And death through sin. Now we all die. And thus death spread to all men. Women are off the hook in all of these scriptures. What's up with that? How are you guys getting away? It's all of us. I'm just teasing. Because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgressions of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man, listen to this, if by one man's offense many died, how much more by the grace of God and the gift by that grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, will abound to many. So there's a shift. There's sin and there's grace. You want to live in sin or do you want to live in grace? Today I want to show you how to live in grace. Because we're all fighting this battle over here with the Ten Commandments, trying to live our life and be sinless. Letting that sink in a little. Sin's, it's present in all of us, and its punishment is death. But Jesus is life. Come on.
Amen. Yeah.
Jesus is life, everybody.
Glory.
Let's see if I can get this. Jesus is life, everybody. Yeah. Well, that took you guys out. Center up. Jesus is life. Woo! One more chance. Jesus is life. Yeah. Come on. You see, God knew we needed help to master me, to master the sin that is in us. We had to have help. We can't do it on our own. This goes all the way back. I'm going to take you all the way to the book of Genesis. I'm going to show you when sin had entered in. They said, this is the story of Cain and Abel. Anybody ever heard that story? It's the first two brothers, right? In the earliest of creation, the Lord said to Cain, you see, Cain brought his offering. Cain was a farmer, and Abel was a herdsman. And in the Bible, God covered Adam and Eve. He covered their sin with the death of an animal in blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So Cain brought an offering from the field, and Abel brought an offering of blood to the Lord for their sins. And God accepted Abel's offering because it was done the way that sin had to be forgiven, and Cain brought the wrong thing. See, we're bringing the wrong thing to God way too much. We're bringing the sin. God doesn't want your sin. He wants blood. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your face so gloomy? If you do well, will your face not be cheerful? And if you do not do well, listen to this. Sin is lurking at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain talked to his brother Abel, and it happened that when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel, and he killed him. He killed him. It's Bible 101, man. He killed the guy. What I love about this story is God warned Cain. He went to him and he said, you know, you are out of control, man. You got to get it together. You got to master this sin thing that's coming after you in your life, or it's going to cause you to do something that you really don't want on your record. He warned him. Get yourself under control, man. See, we have to master sin in our life. And God knows we can never do it on our own. You can't. There's no way you can do it on your own. So he made a plan of redemption for you through Jesus Christ. We need Jesus to be our best selves. We need Jesus to be free from sin. We don't need all the other things. Jesus is the master of sin. He took control of it. I can show you this in Scripture. He is the master of sin. If we're going to master the sin within us, we have to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, master this sin that's in me.
Amen.
Serious. We need to make Jesus our master, and sin will be dealt with through him, not through us. 1 John 3:5 says, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin." Jesus died for your sins, past, present, future. There's a whole lot about all that, and we can't get into it all today. But in 2 Corinthians it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That's what we just celebrated in communion. I can't be good enough. I have to be good enough in him. You see it? Does it make sense? I love this because God knew we would need a helper. He knew we couldn't do it on our own. He knew we would need a helper. And that's why the Holy Spirit was given to us. To be our helper, because we would be bent towards sin in our life. We needed somebody to be in us and with us to go, "Hey, what are you doing?" Just like God did with Cain. "Get yourself under control." That's what the Holy Spirit does. In John 15, it says in verse 26 and 27, "When the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." Amen. See, God's not interested in your testimony. He wants the Holy Spirit through you to testify about Jesus and how good he is and what he's done for you and how he set you free and how he washed you in his blood and how he cleansed you of all your unrighteousness and how he made you worthy and acceptable to be in a relationship with the Holy God.
Amen.
That's good.
See, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, he leads us to be the best that we can be. He's the one that makes us the best. You know what? So many people think God is angry with them, that he's coming for them, but the Holy Spirit, he doesn't smack you. He leads you. He's not looking to crush you. He's not looking to make you feel bad. The Bible says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He is looking to draw you into a new place with God that sin will not even be something you fathom. Because you're so consumed with the love of God and the power of God that's flowing through you so intently that sin isn't even a thought for you anymore. That's how you master your flesh. By showing it who Jesus is. God's been misrepresented in the world. I'm just going to tell you straight up. You know, the enemy's trying to hide his character. He's trying to hide that he's a God of love. He wants the world to think that he's mad at them, that they've got to do penance, that they've got to go and serve those commandments. The Ten Commandments, that thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. And all that the Ten Commandments were given for was so that you could recognize and see that you couldn't do it. That you needed a Savior. That you needed God to intervene on your behalf. And that you would never be able to master yourself and the sin that was in you. That you would need a Savior to step forth and do that on your behalf. Quit trying the behavior control. Quit trying to be good. Quit trying to follow the commandments and get over here in grace where God can just wash it off of you and you'll stop doing it because you don't need to anymore because you're so in love with Jesus. You know, the bottom line is, what I'm really saying here, boy, let me have that. You need to get your white flag out. I made this out of a paper towel, so it's a little cheesy. God's not looking for behavioral control. He's not looking for you to act right. He's looking for you to surrender. He's looking for you to go, I can't do it, Jesus, but you can. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. But I'm too busy trying to do it myself that God doesn't even get an opportunity. So if I would just surrender it all and give it to you, you'll fix it. He'll wash it off you so fast you won't know what happened. I got delivered from alcohol and drugs, man. I didn't go to rehab. I got delivered. I just didn't want it anymore because I got so hooked on Jesus, I didn't need anything else. I got so hooked on Jesus, I didn't need anything else. That's what I'm talking about. That's how I mastered addiction in my life. I got addicted to Jesus instead. I want to behave. Look at your kids. They really want to behave. I don't know about that one. I want to behave. I want to be able to stand before God blameless. Like the Bible says that you are blameless before God. But I can't be blameless in my actions. It's not possible. The want to isn't enough, guys.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
Because you know you want to. Yeah. You're here on Sunday. Some of them, they may not want to yet out there. But you're here on Sunday. I know you want to. But the want to isn't enough. Look, in Romans, I don't use the Message translation very often, okay? I like King James, New American Standard, you know. I know we all have the whole translation thing. Some of us are like, oh, I don't know about that. But this version of what I was trying to get across is so eloquently spoken through the Message translation. I want you to hear this, okay? Listen to this with me. Romans 7, 17 through 25. Mark that one down if you're taking notes because you'll want to go back and read it. It says, but I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me, and gets the better of me every time. Think about this. It happens so regularly, it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel. Anybody have those parts? Covertly rebel. And just when I least expect it, they take charge. Isn't this good?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. Thank you. That was it. The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Isn't that amazing? God already knew. You couldn't do it. It's right there. Mastering the sin in ourselves cannot be done through the law, through the Ten Commandments, through behavioral control. You're never going to be able to get yourself under control apart from Him. You can't wish to enough.
Yep.
You'll fall short every time. Man, I am just getting warmed up here. Oh, wait, that's the transition notes. Thought we were going to miss the rush sunnies. Is this good?
Yeah.
It's going to take a little pause for a second, though. Can you get free from this teaching? I believe you can. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's a gift. Lest anyone should boast. It's by grace. You're going to be coming over here. Are you going to be in grace? Or are you going to be over here in sin?
I choose grace.
You can hang in either one. You can stay over here in sin, not experiencing grace, and try to serve God your whole life. People are doing it. Because the Bible says, my people perish from a lack of knowledge. But that lack of knowledge is that grace has been given. That Jesus has set us free. And by experiencing and accepting His sacrifice on the cross and His blood washing us clean, we can move into grace, and at that moment, you can stop worrying about having to be good enough, and you can just love God and let Him make you good enough, and in that process, you will become good enough.
Amen.
Why do you want to see yourselves any less than the way God sees you? He's looking at you, and He sees Jesus. He doesn't see you. He says, oh, yep, there's the blood. It's been applied. It's like Passover. The angel of death passes over when he sees the blood on the doorpost. And in the book of Exodus, when they were leaving, that last one, the doorpost is our hearts now. So let me bring this around. I think I've made the point pretty clear. We got a sin problem, right? I made it pretty clear that Jesus is the answer to that sin problem. So how do we become the best versions of ourselves? How do we master me?
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on.
In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you.
Once again, I hope you enjoyed the program today. Thanks again to our sponsors, and we hope that each and every one of you are blessed in Jesus' name. If you need more information about the church, you can go to our lighthouse.net or give the office a call at 321-452-1012. God bless you guys.